Hello and welcome to the Age of Delirious. Oh wait, no. D&D. Something like that.
Yes.
Welcome to the Age of Dragons.
That too.
Oh, nice.
You already put me to sleep. You're boring. Oh, goodness gracious.
So
let's see what the football score is so far. Nobody's joined in yet.
Yeah, when's our other co-host supposed to be joining us?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah,
it's now 7:01. It's now 7:01. Denver is at 13 points, and the other people are at 7.
Oh, you're following the game.
Kind of, sort of, kind of. On Facebook is keeping score.
Facebook is keeping score. Facebook's good for something, then, is it? Wait a minute. Who cares what the score is? Oh, yeah, I shouldn't say that.
Well, I kind of, sort of, do and don't. But anyways, I don't know much about football.
Always have a love interest involved.
Well, I started paying attention to it when I was with Kim because she was, well, she claimed to be into football. She had talked about throwing football parties, but we never did. But I just never could get into it, the whole football thing. But, this new girl, she's hardcore into football, and she's a Denver fan. I kind of like Denver, but I don't really know much about them, you know, so I really can't say I'm a fan or not, but I've rooted for them in the past. The other guys, I just found out who they were. It's Colorado. That's Denver. Carolina Panthers. Yeah, you'd think I'd root for them because, you know, they're cats and I'm a cat. Rawr.
Rawr?
I didn't even know who they were. I knew
is God for or against them? That's what I want to know.
I don't think God cares. Well, you know.
He knows every hair on her head. Surely he cares about something as pitiful as a football game.
Well, I think he cares, but I don't think he cares, like, you know, who wins.
Blasphemy.
You're right. But who knows? I can't speak for God. I really cannot. So, I guess I'm rooting for Denver, mostly because I didn't even know who the other people were. Till today, or until I got online. So. But I'm not really rooting for anybody.
I only root for teams who I know their name.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, okay. When I was a kid, I was a Steelers fan. I don't even know who, Pittsburgh, never mind. I know who the Steelers are. But I didn't even know who the Steelers were at the time. That was, I think, my grandfather's team. And he bought my brother and I Steelers outfits or whatever. And so we were Steelers fans. We didn't know anything different. Right. I don't think I was ever really a Chiefs fan, but I can't say because I can't remember.
Just don't like the colors?
I remember. Well, I don't know. But I remember at one time, for whatever reason, I was rooting for Green Bay. Have no idea why.
Well, that makes sense, because, you know, like cheese. You know, cheese is important.
Right. for Denver in the past. Again, I don't know why, but, you know, I knew who they were, so maybe that was why. If I don't know who you are, I ain't rooting for you.
We have rooted for what I can't identify.
Right. So if I was to pick a team, not knowing diddly squat about them, I would probably pick the Rams because the Ram is astrologically compatible with the Leo.
Well, I'll root for the, what is it, the San Jose Sharks.
The Shark? I don't know who is the Shark.
The San Jose Sharks? I think they're
San
Jose.
Who are they?
Or are they San Francisco? I forget.
Oh. Oh, California. Gotcha.
Yeah, because I used to take my ex to the, and my kid, to the ice rink to watch the Disneyland on ice type thing, you know, whenever they did that stuff. And so the Sharks would be advertised up in the skating rink. So
okay.
I think they're hockey. Pretty sure they're hockey.
Who knows?
Unless they're a figure skating team by the name of the Sharks, you know, that, you know. I don't think
right.
people are into figure skating that much.
Chargers, I think, are San Diego. My former business partner's son is a Chargers fan.
Chargers.
San Diego.
Yeah, that
Chargers.
Sounds like either a race car or a...
Ding!
Hello, caller! How you doing?
Hello. Hi, David.
What's up?
Okay. So how do you listen to this other than calling the phone number? How do you listen to it online?
You listen to it after the fact, I believe.
Well, actually, you can go online. There's a, you go to freeconferencing.com/messaging/910-587-124.
Okay, well, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, that sounds easy.
It's on DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we blame you.
It's all
you
your
blame
fault.
Me for what?
You came up with the name.
I don't remember that.
I plead the fifth.
I think he's telling me too because I remember.
This is what?
I think he's telling the truth. He doesn't remember. So,
okay.
So folks, if you don't know who this is our third host. The one we keep talking about that's never been here.
David.com.
Okay, how do you know when you have another caller?
We hear a ding.
I heard somebody.
No, it's just the three of us.
Yeah, it's just three of us.
So far.
Well, how do you know when you have another one? They just introduce themselves, huh?
We hear a ding and we're told to announce themselves like we told you to announce yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm also on the website, so I got the caller ID so I can see how many people are online. I didn't recognize.
Now, can you actually see the number of the person who called?
What?
Can you actually see the number of the person who called, or you just see the fact that somebody called?
No, I can see the number, the phone number, but, you know, like caller ID, but... I don't have anybody's numbers memorized, so it means nothing to me, really.
Right. We kind of need to come up with some software that automatically identifies people. Hey, we recognize this number.
That would be caller ID, David.
Yeah.
But he needs it on his computer because his computer doesn't, you know, not every... Well, never mind.
I imagine. Well, it would be a good thing if you did have I imagine there's a program that does that, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there are.
Yeah, well, if you log in with the computer, you have an account and you have a name assigned to your account, and so then it'll show a name next to the caller ID whenever you log into the website. But when people call in, it just shows their number.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would take some different software to ID that number.
Yeah.
Well,
they have
that software out there. I mean, before caller ID came out, they had that. So, where your computer just automatically knew who was calling because they'd called before and it recognizes the phone number, so it pops up the name of your customer up on the screen.
So you really believe anybody else will call?
Well, 8 people were supposed to call in today.
I'm supposed to go over. I'm supposed to be over at Bill's place, and there's Bill and Jerry and David and Leroy, and I suppose Shirley and Lola. So that really makes credit on our phone system. Bill complains he can't call in because it's not working. I guess I have to show him how to do it.
Okay, well, that was most of the 8 people that were supposed to call in, so I guess they weren't going to call in. David was going to have them all on his phone.
Okay.
Or on their phone or something like that.
Something like that.
Something
so what
like
are we going
to
talk about?
So how do you find out about podcasts?
How did what?
How do you find out about these podcasts? How does one find out?
David Irish, I believe, is the one who introduced me. He told me about, what was that conspiracy series thing that you call in and listen to?
I don't know.
I can't remember his name now. So he told me it was this neatest thing. All you have to do is call his phone number. You can listen in. So I did. Then I did some research, and I found out there was a whole bunch of them that could do the same thing.
Okay, well, where is this podcast listed so people can find it?
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything but Dungeons and Dragons.
We broke that rule last week. Well, no, Friday.
But yeah, they find it at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. I'm hosting it, basically.
Okay. I've been looking into... good grief. It left my head now. Remote viewing.
I hate that.
Remote viewing. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Have you heard of that before?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
It's, going into a meditative state and going looking around.
Yeah, sort of like astral projecting.
Uh-huh. Except you're not sleeping. You're doing it consciously. And... the military got into it quite a bit, and then you heard a lot about it for a while, and then suddenly everybody's quiet about it. But Yeah, I've been looking at all sorts of stupid stuff. Well, somebody called up and told me to watch a video. There are 200 reasons why the Earth is flat.
Oh, no.
And
cubic or octahedral?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting, you know. We assume so much.
Well, at least I know I can have a logical discussion with you on the subject. We have another individual who is really big on it, and every time I ever try to have a logical discussion on the subject with him, he goes, well, you're just not looking at the evidence. I'm just asking questions.
Okay.
You know?
Well, it is, there is a lot of interesting things that they present. Of course, I can't think of one of them, but,
well,
you know, what I'm thinking is divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer?
Uh-huh. I mean, what's happening is distraction.
Oh, yeah.
People are distracted by too many choices. They're distracted by too many things to argue about. And when people are distracted, they're not going to work together because the powers that be know how dangerous working together can be.
Right.
Yeah, why do you think God broke it up? Tower of Babel. It's like, whoa! I told them to scatter. Here they are. They're building a tower.
Well, I don't know. I'm not much a follower of any organized religion right now.
I bumped into a guy today. He told me I need to go find a Church of Christ and
join. Who did?
Because that, you know, this guy, I was with the TA or the Petro working out, and I got on the subject of religion with the guy in the workout room, and he basically told me that the Church of Christ is the one true church, and I need to go find one and join now so I can save my soul.
I think it's safe to say that any church that says that they're the one true church is not it.
I know.
I think that is just their claim that they missed the point.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. If they make that claim, they've already missed the point. So.
Yeah, I've already learned a long time ago you can't argue with people about stuff like that, especially Church of Christ. That church that I run from.
It's okay. Okay, thank you very much. Good luck with that.
Right.
Which of the several dozen Churches of Christ are you running away from in particular?
Well, when I was about 20 years ago, when I was with my first wife, I was her. She was working on being, you know, a famous singer or whatever. But her broker, her booking agent, whatever you want to call him, her manager, he was Church of Christ, and he was like, he said that the fine line to get into heaven is so narrow that Moses may not even make it. I'm like, what? I mean, that's how extreme they are. They don't even believe Moses made it to heaven, or is going to make it to heaven, whatever.
It's a waste of time.
You're out there. Oh, yeah.
I do not have it handy. I've got my King James Bible around here someplace. There's this beautiful little scripture in 1 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Okay? Basically, it says God wants to save everybody. Now, if God's all-powerful and God's all-knowing and he wants to do a thing, don't you think it's going to happen?
Who's speaking?
What?
Who is speaking for God?
Well, that's true. Apparently, Timothy was speaking for God in that particular case.
Yeah.
See, I believe we were yeah. That's a deep subject. I mean, there's more and more evidence all the time that
you're talking about Anunnaki.
The Anunnaki and Enlil and Enki and Sumerian myths, Sumerian legends, Sumerian tablets.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they say there's not enough evidence. It's like there are a million tablets.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of evidence that we were genetically engineered. This is true.
We were talking about that Friday.
Well, there are cities on Mars. That there are cities on the backside of the moon. But we are not alone.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the ones on the moon per se, because
okay.
A lot of people think they're evidence from the photographs that were taken from the Stanley Kubrick movies of the moon landing. And, well, he used the same technology to make those as he did his 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that particular method of filming leaves artifacts in the filming. And so people thought there was glass towers on the moon as a result because they could see the sparkling of the bead curtain that he was projecting his images on. So,
I'm talking about, you need to look into some remote viewing on the moon and visit the colony that's on the moon. The colony that's on Mars.
You mean the one that Barack Obama was raised on?
That? No, I never heard that one.
Yeah, supposedly he's been back and forth to Mars a couple of times. But
he doesn't
don't
have
even
the clearance.
Need to walk it.
He doesn't have the clearance.
Yeah, supposedly we don't even need rockets to get there. That they had
you know,
some sort of teleporting people.
Several years back, well, okay, just before they shut down the Apollo missions, officially shut them down, there was I don't remember what channel it was. It was House of Senate or Congress or something. One of the members stood up and said, "Well, we no longer are limited by traditional methods of attaining orbit now. So we're going to come into a brand new age." Of space travel. And this was a congressman or a senator saying this. And I saw it once. And then, I don't know, a few weeks later, they shut down the space program.
Right.
I believe...
Okay, I'm going to put myself on mute while I introduce other people to the program. So I'm listening.
Okay. See, I believe that the technology we have available today, the average person... actually is what?
Are you on here?
I'm on.
There must be
another one. Okay, sorry. That the technology that we have available today to us is actually about 75 years behind what is actually available.
Oh, yeah, so, definitely. I mean, the governments and the militaries have, you know, first primary access to everything, and then they give us the obsolete technology.
Well, about 3 years, a friend of mine in the military had been talking to his son, and he said, his son said, "Dad, you know what they got?" He said, "We were standing around an encampment, and their CO or whoever was in charge of them waved him over, and he took this roll out of his pocket that was about like a newspaper, a rolled-up newspaper, and laid it and rolled it out flat, and it was a computer."
Oh, yeah.
And it had all the positions of all the people and all the latest. Yeah. One of the astronauts said, "There are no UFOs. They know what it is."
Well, they're UFOs to us.
No. Well, to the general population.
Yeah.
But originally all the scare tactics and missing butchered animals was just one branch of the military trying to scare the hell out of the public. Did a real good job. Because from what I have been reading recently is the extraterrestrials are friendly. And the only reason they're not being more open about contact is they're waiting for us to grow up. I mean, we're not going to have access to interstellar space travel as a whole until we start getting along.
Right. And,
of course,
our government's not allowing us to get along. They're creating race warfare, gender warfare, and class warfare all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's just too many people right now. I've heard over and over about how the elite want to reduce the population. Like, well, we're doing a good job of that of ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like Bill's got a party going on in his house, and he insists on feeding me. So, do you mind if I join back in about a half an hour?
What? You're failing out on the podcast?
So professional of me, I'm sorry.
What?
But Jerry is interested in joining in, so maybe I hand him the phone and he walks up to his camper and I go meet him there later.
How does he feel about the Anunnaki?
Hey, you
know. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what he says about Flat Earth, too.
Oh, God.
Right. Okay.
Precisely what he would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. You go to Demented Dungeons and Dragons. Connie's trying to get on and listen to us.
Yeah.
And she got yesterday, but not today's.
Or Friday's.
Or Friday's, but not just.
Oh, right. Yeah, because it's not on that site yet. You click on the link. All right, hang on, let me go there so I can walk you through it. Okay, click on the link. DDD Podcast 2016 February.
Okay, You click on the link, and it's February 5th?
Yeah, go ahead and click on that. Now,
click on
when
that.
You
click
open...
on the 5th.
Yeah. Then you'll see the URL to go to the website to actually join the podcast.
Then you'll see the URL to go to the website.
I've already been here.
Yeah, it's freeconferencing.com. Meetings,
freeconferencing.com.
910, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I've already been here, and I clicked listen.
Okay.
Listen.
Okay. It was horrible. Okay,
well, I'm not sure what to do then, because if it's not working, I'm not. So she logged in and created an account?
No. Did you log in and create an account?
No.
No, she just went to
I
the site.
Listen.
She just wants to listen. But you have to log in and log in and create an account.
You have to create an account to listen online.
Okay. Okay, she's not interested.
The only other way to do it is just to dial in with the phone, and then she can start 6 to mute herself, and she can listen on the phone.
Okay. The only other way is listen on the phone. Okay. You're not going to do that. Okay.
Okay.
Well, so David's gone.
Yeah, he bailed out on us. The bum. He's still active online. I guess he just muted his phone. So, we'll just talk about whatever. So he's talking about Mars and the government and UFOs that are not really UFOs and that the aliens are what? Friendly or not friendly?
They are friendly, and they're just waiting for us to get along.
Can't we all just get along? Yeah, I know. And us dang peacekeepers are the problem.
Wow.
All us hippies are running around saying peace, peace, love, love. Can't have that.
Well, see, it goes back to religion, and it's like we have no power to control our future of our own. There's nothing we can do. It's like we're powerless. And that's what religion teaches you.
Right. You are predestined.
To fail.
To fail.
Unless you...
Okay, we're joining in with a party in the background. We have John, Bill, and Jerry. And they're watching 9/11 stuff, but I know we're talking about Flat Earth and Anunnaki and fake moon landing. So,
hold on.
There you go. I'm placing you in the middle of them.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
9/11, huh?
Huh?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You said you're talking about Flat Earth?
No, we passed that a long time ago.
Okay. Well, I just saw a video this week of the Flight 175, second building it hit. The wing passes, it's coming in front of a building. You can see the body of the plane in front of a building. And the wing is behind the building because there was a CGI, totally bogus thing. So, and then they were watching footage of people that also recorded the incident. There was no plane at all, so the whole plane thing was just put in by CGI and sold to the public. Have you guys heard that?
Well, I watched a brief the newscast as it was happening. So
right.
I don't know.
The plane was completely just a CGI. composite afterwards. There were no plane at all. But anyway, look that up sometime. The thing is titled Flight 175.
1840.
Rare video proof of 911. No plane hoax. And then, like I said, they were watching footage of somebody that took a video of the explosion in the building, but there's no plane at all. So, yeah, they had an explosion. They put in the CGI, the whole plane thing, composite CGI, and then they, you know, sold that to the public as a real. Pretty weird.
That's the camera.
What's that one?
Yeah, I
got that.
So how could we have watched a live video of a plane flying into the building when there was no plane flying into the building?
There was an explosion in the building, but there was no plane.
It was live.
They said it was.
Okay.
They said it was. Well, number one, the impossibility of an aluminum body plane going through a building, you know, going through concrete, steel, concrete reinforced steel pillars and everything else, just dissolving inside the building. You know, that alone is an impossibility. So it was totally bogus, is what they're saying. The whole thing was bogus. The explosions were there, obviously, yes. The buildings came down, yes, but what caused them to come down? Of course, you listen to Dr. Judy Woods, and you find out that, you know, it was a directed energy weapon. But anyway, Hutchison effect and all that, you know.
But yeah, I guess we'd have to watch the videos again and see what happened to the plane after it hit. Because like you said, it wouldn't have disintegrated.
Yeah, complete impossibilities. Anyway, just it was interesting. Oh, shoot. So you were, some time ago, you were looking at flat earth stuff, I guess.
Well, David mentioned it.
Huh?
What do you have to say about that, David Irish?
Oh, it was just a video that I watched. It was supposed to be 200 facts about that will convince you that the earth is flat.
Eric Dubé,
yeah. It was interesting. But
yeah,
it's like you got to believe that. It's like, we don't think so. But back to the I said I don't think so. Back to the 9/11. Just recently, what I had heard about was that they had just come out with an unalterable autopilot, and that they had someone had the footage of the pilot trying to steer the. Trying to take control of the plane, and they couldn't because it was on autopilot. There weren't any Arabs. It was done by remote control. So there's all sorts of stories.
Yeah, there's information, disinformation. There's cross, double cross, triple cross. I mean, there's always different stories about how something happened, but. Yeah, this footage though, if there was no plane at all, then you know it's all bogus. Like I saw the one time I saw the passenger list of the flight that supposedly crashed in Pennsylvania. I mean, every single person on that plane would be the type of person that you would want to put in a deep underground military base or a survival arc that was going to be. You know, type of thing. I mean, they're all mathematicians and biologists and doctors and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, chemists and whatnot. So, anyway, that's kind of a, it happened and whatnot. But the, sometimes you want to talk about the flat earth thing because that is phenomenal. I've been studying that for quite some time. You watched the Eric DeBay's 200 blah, blah, blah proofs or whatever the heck it's called. It's good. It's got a lot of good stuff there. Just to give you an idea, an inkling of how much information is out there and how fast it's growing, there are new channels every day. One time I tried to take screenshots of just the pages on YouTube. I punched in Flat Earth Playlist, and I ran out of memory on my phone, and that was just taking, you know, a screenshot of the lists of, you know, videos or the people that had playlists. It's the most viral thing that's, you know, hit the internet since the inception of the internet by far. I mean by 1,000% or something. But on my channel, I will have 200 playlists on the subject on different topics. It's complicated. I mean, it's massively complicated, and you know, it's not an easy thing to grasp or to look at, because it involves so many branches of science and mathematics, and something that I'm pretty well, you know, I mean, versed in a lot of major different backgrounds, you know, different math and science, so I can handle most of it. But, you know, as far as the computer stuff, no, I'm not a techie and whatnot. David's a lot more along, you know, down that road than I am. But I wish I had a computer. I'm just doing everything I'm doing on my phone. But
the same.
Yeah. But I just saw two brand new guy, brand new channel, brand new videos. You know, I mean, they're just knockout, drop dead, awesome, fantastic. You know, yeah. You know, just phenomenal. So.
See ya.
Bye. Anyway.
Well, with all this,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's flat or round or whatever, square, cube, octagon. But I don't know. I just can't see. I can't fathom the concept of it being flat just because of physics.
Just what now? Because of what?
Physics.
Well,
no,
the physics is what says it is flat. There is no physics that supports any kind of concept of a round Earth, the spherical Earth. There's nothing there. Now, just here's where I started with. I watched. Here's where I started with. Let me say something. Here's where I started with. You look at the facts, the visual proof that you can see with your eyes. And understand with your own brain, your own two eyes, and your own brain. Okay, so every photograph, every video that's being done, and I'm telling you, there's hundreds of high altitude balloons being launched around the world. Civilians have launched their own rocket ships, and with camera and whatnot, telephoto cameras over the ocean. Where the curvature is supposed to be, you know, 8 inches per mile squared. In other words, you square the miles. 2 miles, 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 8, 16 inches, okay? That is the formula for the curvature of the Earth. And so the first thing, all the other things that we've been taught and, you know, the trying to wrap your mind around, well, what about this and what about this and what about this, that's all inconsequential to the fact that to this date and time, nobody has any kind of proof whatsoever that there exists any curvature of the Earth at all. Water's level. Water seeks its own level. The Suez Canal is 100 miles long. There is zero curvature. The Great Canal in China is 1,100 miles long, and about 700 of it is no locks, you know, no raising or lowering like the Panama Canal. You know, with a series of locks, it's flat. There is no curvature. So engineers don't take it into account, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a thousand things, but that's what I started with. I'm looking at, you know, footage, and I'm going like, there's no curvature. So if that doesn't exist, then all the rest of it's smoke and mirrors, just like 911. So,
Have you ever been in a plane 9,000 feet above the
You're usually flying at 30,000 feet.
30,000, okay, whichever.
Yeah, you can go up to 300,000 feet, and it's a flat line. Now, some of the windows in the planes are domed. They're, domed plexiglass. So you're gonna think you're seeing some curvature, but you're not. It's flat line, dead, flat, straight line out to, you can see military footage, up to, yeah, actually, One of the here's one that happened recently. Felix Baumgartner. you know, went up to 120,000 feet in a balloon, in a capsule. It was a NASA operation. And when the camera outside the capsule and the camera on his helmet are GoPro fisheye lenses, panoramic lenses. But you look at that video, it's 14-minute or whatever video, when he rolls the capsule door open, the camera inside the capsule is a normal camera. And it's a straight, flat line at 120,000 feet. The X-15, you can look up footage of that, 300,000 feet, straight line, flat line. So whatever you saw, you thought you saw from a plane was because of the convex or the bubble effect on the windows. It's a flat line. Anyway, just my, I've studied it for months and months and months before I started even talking about it. In fact, the only person I've talked about it with was Bill here and, you know, David a little bit, but, you know.
So what's the implications of it? The implications of it, are we under a Petri dish? Is that what it is?
Why do you say Petri dish?
Well, I mean, if we're being studied by aliens, that would make sense.
No. I mean, well, whatever you want to believe about that shit. You know, Nephilim, on angels, demons. But it may be that we're under a dome. Yeah, I mean, because the other thing, too, is if you look at the account in the Bible of creation, it matches it much closer than anything else. You know, you have the firmament that separated the waters from above the firmament, from the water below the firmament, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, and I'm outside. I'm going to go back in. I'm not
okay.
A little quiet, noisy, but, and I won't really hear you as well. But David's about right done eating here.
So it'll fall, hopefully, in the
right. Oh, let's get chilly out there.
What's the temperature down there?
Cold.
Okay. Well, he was real open. He was real open about aliens, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see if I can look it up. Stockton, the temperature, well, the low tonight is 14 degrees. Temperature right now should be the low tonight is 25 degrees. The temperature right now should be somewhere between there and 49.
Is it the bottom or the top?
Okay.
So it's the tropical temperature out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry's got some very different ideas and opinions. Some of them I agree with, some of them I don't. Do what, David?
I don't know. The flat earth thing is just interesting.
It's interesting, but it doesn't make any sense.
What? You said physics?
Huh?
Did you say physics?
No, I said the flat earth. I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, you got to study it. You got to look at it. I don't know if you want to look at it honestly. Here's a...
Right.
All right. We're now bouncing on the...
Okay. But the guy that is doing the remote view, and I can't remember his name. What I do is I put on YouTube videos a night when I can't sleep, and one of them was about remote viewing and what this guy had seen, and the military was real heavy into it, and he has the credentials. You know, aerospace engineer, all the certificates on the wall, and you know, he's like 100% serious, and it's just hard to imagine that these people are making all this up, you know?
Right.
Okay. What's the? I can't think of it. Late night talk show. What was his name? Oh, gosh.
8, 9,
oh, good grief.
Googling it.
Boy, completely just out of my head. And they would talk about time travel
George Norrie.
Yeah, George Norrie. Well, okay, who was before George Norrie?
Art Bell.
What was the name of the show? Art Bell, yeah. Yeah, he just had some real interesting people on there. And I was never in a position to listen to Art Bell, and when I finally was, it was like, well, he gave up, and then George Norrie got a hold of it, and it's like, okay, well, to listen to it, you gotta sign up and you gotta pay for it now.
Oh. Nice.
No.
Yeah. They do
anyway.
That.
Well, you know, you got to pay for it. I mean, they were just putting it out there, and I watched a video last night of a not exactly sure what happened, but it was a police video, and they were chasing this car, and real erratic driver stopping and going, and it was at night, and the car made a turn and kind of jumped through the fence. I mean, the police pulled up behind the fence. It's like, okay, there's a car moving away from on the other side of the fence. You know, it's like, so, you know, it's like, I can appreciate physics, but it's like, that's not the last word. It's like, we don't have all the information. You know, it's like free energy, or this free energy. Well, okay. Zero point energy.
Zero point energy.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's not physically possible according to physics. You know, the laws of well, but we don't have all the information.
Well,
you know.
The honest truth is, we already got free energy.
Oh. Quantum
every
physics.
Time you light
yeah.
a match and every time you light a match and put a log on fire, you did very little to get that energy out.
It's not,
you know,
free
it's
energy. Well, okay.
Sunlight and stuff like that in order to get it. But, you know, the same thing goes for the quote-unquote free energy that they're getting elsewhere. It got stored there somehow. We're just figuring out how to tap it.
What if just the motion of the planets is acting like a generator? You know, what if it's like, how do you make electricity? You pass, there's two ways you do it. You pass an electric field through a material, or you pass a material through an electric field. It's like, okay, the Earth passes through the field that is the sun's radiation, so we're creating energy, right? So maybe the solar system is a big charging station, and all we got to do is tap into it. Maybe the solar system is a generator. They called it vacuum energy years ago. Now they call it zero-point energy. Okay. How about the free energy device that India has now? Have you seen that? Tiwari, I think is his name. It's the government endorsed. You know, they have a generator that does, I think, 250% over unity. And it's the government's real proud of it, and it's like USA's threatened them, and Russia's threatened them. But India has free energy. And they, yeah. They're giving away the technology. Then the U.S. is pissed because it'll shut down their own monopoly.
Right.
It's like anti-gravity. It's like, okay, the USA has anti-gravity. The B-2 bomber is anti-gravity. It's got it's got a lifting field. It's have you ever seen the B-2 the bomber fly? I mean, personally.
No.
It does some real interesting things. When I first came to Kansas City, stopped for some reason down in down Warnell, 83rd, 85th, something in Warnell, looking for Gregory in Warnell is what it was, and looked off in the distance, and the bomber was there flying around, and it was flying real slow, and its wings were, I mean, it was almost like it was standing on one wing doing figure eights, like slow motion. And I never understood it until I was reading an article, and they have something called electrogravitics. You should look it up, electrogravitics. It's a lifting field caused by high voltage. I looked into it further, and it's like the skin of the B-2 bomber is something like 7 million volts, and that high voltage creates lift. There's some real interesting technology going in there. It's like it has the radar signature of an eagle, and heat-seeking missiles cannot lock onto it. I have a question. What do you do with excess heat? How do you make heat go away? You can't, because it builds up, right? You can't put it in a box. It gets hotter and hotter. How do you dissipate heat so a missile can't lock onto it? Well, then you have a propulsion system that doesn't generate heat, something that is not commonly known. Yeah. There's a lot out there. And you know, the physics of it, well, we don't have physics down. You know, it's like, they've already proved that, well, there's an engine out there that they don't know how it runs. Somebody created an engine, a massless engine, that doesn't use fuel, that creates propulsion. And they say it's impossible. Physics says it's impossible. But that's what they're going to use in space travel. Massless engines, I think that's what it was called. Just real interesting. It's like, yeah, we don't have it down. Tesla had it down.
Right.
Anybody, like he was saying, it's like all the, they need scientists. You know, it's like just only recently had they, if they have, acknowledged that Area 51 exists. I mean, just until recently. It's like, well, it's all, yeah, and there's plane loads of people flying in and out of it. Yeah. But, you know, the bottom line is like, okay, if there's aliens, if we're on the moon, if we're on Mars, if the planet's flat, how does that relate to me personally?
Right. Well, how does that relate to us as a community and how we're going to progress forward in harmony?
Well, it's not designed to do that.
Right.
It's designed to fail. So it's like the only way we can do anything about it is
fuck the system.
Well, change a system.
Right.
I mean,
create our own system.
I don't know what's going to happen this election. You know, it's like
we're going to keep getting what we've been getting: more communism, more socialism.
Trump is an ass. I mean, of the worst sort.
Well, from what I see, the only people that we have running for president are joke number one, joke number two, joke number three. I forgot joke number four. I mean,
it's like they made a complete mockery of a system I thought we had that worked, and it's like, well, guess it hasn't worked. Guess it never did. It's all about the money. Follow the money.
Well, it's starting to look more and more like the whole song and dance that we saw in the movies Hunger Games.
Which movie?
Remember the movie, the movie series Hunger Games?
Hunger Games, yeah.
Okay. I just watched one of them, but yeah.
Yeah, the song and dance that they're doing is starting to resemble that very much.
Well, it's real interesting. It's like how some of the movies that have come out have been is like, okay, well, this is what it is. This is what they're showing us. You know, it's like, how do you prepare the masses for what is happening other than show movies of it? And that's what they're doing. It's like there's science fiction and politics and what was one that okay.
This is what we're going to do for you. See how wonderful it is?
And we're going to show you what it is. But you're not going to know.
Right. Yeah, are those kind of movies that are warning us? Or are they movies trying to program us?
Or maybe it's their legal announcement, and if you don't disagree, then you've consented because they've given you notice.
David, did you see the? Okay, years ago there was a movie, and I can't think of the name of it, and it was about aliens had taken over the planet, and that if you had these special glasses, you could see them.
I believe it was called Them or They or They Live. It was called
They Live. Okay, now, just recently, they have come up with a lens that there's some company that it was a telescope because they wanted to see, what was it they wanted to see? I can't think. I think it was like maybe something dark matter or wanted to see something, and they realized that you could see entities around. You could see things with it. It was like these glasses that were in this movie, and they live. And
like
now it's they have a new lens that they can see things like that.
You remember Buckaroo Banzai?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this other reality was all around us. All you have to do is have something that kind of opened up the gateway between the two.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And so he flew into a mountain, and on the inside of the mountain was this whole alien race that was living parallel to us.
But did he open up the pathway? Was he the one that opened it, or was it already there?
Well, yeah, that I'm not sure. I don't remember. I'd have to watch it. But he had to do something with this, some gadgetry in order to go through. You couldn't just walk through it. You had to do some sort of manipulation. All right,
wasn't there something?
Well, do you want to open your door?
Wasn't there something where they did something and people could see that they were aliens? Or they just had disguises on, I don't remember. But it's, yeah, it's just a matter of perception is what we're able to see. And it goes
Hello.
Back to the secret. Hello. It goes back to the secret. And in the secret, they talked about how the natives, when the when they were first visited by, okay, who were the first explorers? The Spaniards. Spaniards. Okay, when the Spaniards first came there, they could not see the ships because they were so outside their frame of reference that they could not actually see them. And the only way
I've heard that story before myself.
And it's and then there is the stories about people don't see aliens; they'll see a big owl or an animal because it's so far outside their frame of reference, their mind turns into something else. It's like, okay, so what is it we're not seeing that's right in front of us that we can't conceive of that is
there?
That
was that freaking owl I saw up in the trees.
Yeah. So... Yeah, it was the lens that they new telescope or something they new lens for a telescope that they just came out. Oh, it's been in the past couple of weeks, and I thought of They Live. It's like, okay, they actually see entities. And they're supposed to be creatures living all around us, but we can't
NASA recordings where they're looking back at Earth. And there's these giant, translucent, very, very ephemeral, but they're there, shaped roughly like a jellyfish, but it's got to be miles across. And they obviously knew where they were because they had the lens centered on them. They had the camera centered on them.
How long ago was this?
A couple years back I saw it.
Okay, all right.
Denver's the edge.
I wouldn't even know how to find the video again.
Yeah. I've lost so much information on computers.
Oh, yeah. I try to have a backup for my backup.
Yeah, then I lose the backup.
You lose the backup.
Yeah, like I've got thumb drives full of information somewhere.
Oh yeah.
And now I see Walmart has 128 gig thumb drive for $30 now.
That's what I got.
So,
I put all my music on it and listen to it at random while I'm driving.
Well, there's, you know, back to the videos, back to they're long videos. I mean, they're 2 or 3 hours long, but very informative. A lot of food for thought. I don't know. You know, and then you tie in with the movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Well, it's. I guess we choose our distractions, you know.
Right.
That's what it is.
Like
you
the
know.
Super Bowl.
Well, okay, yeah. Who won? Who played? You know, any idea?
Well, I have a little bit of an idea. Denver Broncos is playing Carolina Panthers. But I didn't know that until this afternoon when I got on. I'm monitoring it on Facebook. All I knew was Denver was playing because I didn't know who the other people were. And I just only recognized Denver. I still don't really know who the other people are.
They always call Joe Mama. He's watching the game.
Yeah. It's either North Carolina or South Carolina, but one of the Carolinas has a Panthers football team.
Okay.
And they're playing against
Denver. I have no
idea.
Okay.
I only know
well,
Denver is.
You were talking about distractions,
winning.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
winning 16-7.
That's okay. Well, that's okay. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I'm just, you know, trying to. This girl I'm talking to, she is a football fan. She basically was a cheerleader all through school, so she naturally follows football. And so since it's an interest of hers and we may or may not end up together, I'm making it an interest of mine for at least as long as she's an interest of mine.
Okay, so you actually had
a date?
Yeah.
Only one. Yeah. Our first date was supposed to be Valentine's, but the last time I was in town was the third time she asked me to come see her, so I went and saw her.
Okay.
So we have our second date the week following Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So far so good. And she's astrologically compatible to me, so that's good.
Hey, he turned down an opportunity to take a nap with her.
Yeah, I turned down. Well, she only said that after the fact. So, but I still would have turned it down either way.
Okay.
She's giving me a hard time, Dana.
It's all good. Because I'm a prude. But anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, so 16-7.
Just not as prudish as I am.
Probably not. No, definitely not.
What you doing, David?
Moving boxes of wood, actually.
And then this one.
Okay.
No, that one.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of... Well, I never really paid the whole Anunnaki alien thing any attention until Kim. Kim was really hardcore into it, you know. Of course, she thought I was blowing her off because I didn't really, I knew of the subject. I just didn't know all that much about it like she did. And I wasn't really raised with it, so it was kind of like somewhat foreign to me. But because I didn't just convert right away, she got upset with me thinking that I was just, like I thought she was being dumb or something. But I listened to her,
you
know, and
you gotta believe this because I said it's true.
What?
In other words, you've got to believe just because I said it was true.
Right. Now,
and it's hard to work with.
It is hard to work with, but what she didn't realize was I was listening and I was paying attention. And I was following and have been following a lot of the things that she was following. And since then, I've gotten actually more convinced, you know, that what she was trying to shove down my throat has some validity. But, you know, you can't shove things down people's throats.
Well, what's that one, the Golden Dragon one? It was about 4 or 5 hours long video.
Yeah, I'm still not 100% convinced on that one, but...
I'm not either, but I kept it. Do you know why?
Why? Oh, yeah, I already know why you told me. Go ahead, tell everybody else.
It has lots and lots and lots of information on how to... manipulate the video in order to bring out details that are otherwise hidden. And
well,
I found that fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Golden Dragon thing, but, you know, the rest of it was you know, the technology behind it was fascinating.
Okay, what is the Golden Dragon?
Golden Dragon. Yeah, I kind of been following that, too, since you talked about
it. What is the Golden Dragon?
Well, supposedly there's this giant robotic machine on the moon you can actually see via telescope, and it moves around. And it's roughly shaped like the ancient Chinese dragon.
And there's a giant alien that operates it.
Yeah, he'd have to be about 50 stories tall, but yeah, he's sitting there supposedly working on it in front of it. I don't know if anything true, but that's what they got out of the blurred out image on the moon that enhanced to the best of their ability.
Okay.
Now, that blurred out image could be anything, but there could be validity to that story. Maybe it's not a giant alien and a giant dragon machine, but it could be the city that David Irish was just talking about.
It's true. It clearly was someplace that they blurred out on purpose.
Right. It could be a civilization that they don't want us to know about. It could be a government base. It could be anything. You know, it could be an alien spaceship that had landed, because apparently this thing moves. So if it's moving, it's got to be something mobile, like a spaceship or a tank or something. According to the theory, it's a machine that is actually collecting minerals from the moon. They're like mining on the moon.
Okay.
Whatever it is, it's huge.
Look up Apollo 20 and the princess that they brought back from the moon.
Princess brought back.
Right.
Apprentice or princess?
Princess.
That's weird.
Oh, that was John Carter from Mars.
No, that's Mars. That's Mars. John Carter of Mars. This is the moon. Well, supposedly they went to the dark side of the moon and they saw two spaceships. One was a huge one and the other was a small one. And they explored the large one, and the large one was really, really ancient. And the smaller one, they found two bodies. And one of them was completely dead, but the other was the woman, and supposedly the way they said there was not alive and not dead in some kind of suspended animation. And
so she wasn't breathing, but the body wasn't decaying.
Right, right. There was no signs of decay. And that she had some attachments to her eyes and to her mouth and to her nose, and they removed them, so pretty much they killed her if she was alive. So, but I had seen a video, and there's a picture of her, if you look it up, of what she looked like.
And what was this called again?
Apollo 20.
Apollo 20.
When officially Apollo 17 was the last mission.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, with all the CGI, the capabilities of CGI, and being able to manipulate images and make people and things do things that they never do, it's like, what do you believe? It's all entertainment at this point.
Well,
The moon princess would be Cancer, because Cancer rules the moon.
Okay, well, they brought back Cancer from the moon then, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like reality is stranger than fiction a lot of times, you know?
Yep.
Well, of course.
That's the YouTube channel.
Right.
If it's on the internet, it must be true, right?
Yeah, that's what the blonde said.
what the blonde said.
Yeah. There's a lot of supposedly insider information. Like WikiLeaks.
What's a WikiLeak?
How come he hasn't WikiLeaked something about this guy? Like it is
WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks.
It's all supposed to bring confusion. It's the Tower of Babel all over again.
Right.
Everybody.
So the Tower of Babel is the television.
There you go.
No, it's the internet.
Oh, the internet. And television. It's media.
It's media.
Evil media.
Well, this is a lot like the old days on a party line.
Yeah, it's like Dave's Herb Shop, but virtual.
Yeah, virtual Herb Shop. Dave's Herb Shop, Independence, Missouri. It's gone now. David was the owner. $5.
Well, I still sell SEACT.
All I looked at.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Never goes dead. Never
drinks. SEACT.
Okay.
He fell.
Okay. I've got it. Absolutely.
All right. I finally met my 80% of my internet.
What does that mean?
It means that I've used almost 100% of my data.
Okay.
You get
but I guess it rolls over in 2 days.
Well, hurry up and download something.
So
that's basically why I'm using it up right now. Downloading educational things like the Gospel of Mary.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I found that to be interesting.
Yes.
The ones I got them were from,
I think.
They were, the document was incomplete. So I don't know if they have it completely in some place, but the one I got was the document was incomplete. So the translation begins in the middle of a sentence and cuts out every once in a while because the original document was literally rotted away.
Oh, gotcha. Well, here's the Book of Jasher also, but I might already have that. I got to go through my external hard drive.
The Book of Enoch. You got the Book of. Have you read anything from the Book of Enoch?
Oh yeah, I've got a few copies of it. But I think isn't that another one that's incomplete?
No.
No, I think that one's complete. It took me a while to find the one that's considered to be the official one because there's like 3 different Books of Enoch out there.
Okay. Yeah, I've got several copies of it. So, but they're all audio. So
okay,
we'll have to go through
and
make sure.
Yeah, those are incomplete. Yeah, those 2 videos you got to hold are incomplete.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
Because I strictly do the audio learning. Do what?
I got to get up at 4:30 tomorrow morning.
No problem. We're already over our 1 hour mark. We can go ahead and do Ron Paul right now. We're at 1 hour,
well,
one and a half hours.
Okay, well, have fun.
David Irish.
You too. Party on, and we'll see you next, or we'll talk to you next Sunday, hopefully.
Next time.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next Sunday at 7.
Have fun, guys.
All right.
All right, party on.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye. All right. Calling Ron Paul. Ron Paul, revolution.
I won't mute myself this time, but I will be quiet.
3-8. United States Preventive Services Task Force recently recommended mandatory depression screening for all Americans. The task force wants to force health insurance companies to pay for the screening. Basic economics, as well as the Obamacare disaster, should have shown this task force that government health insurance mandates harm consumers. Government health insurance mandates raise the price of health insurance. Consumers will respond to this increase by either choosing to not carry health insurance or by reducing their consumption of other goods and services. Imposing new health insurance mandates will thus make consumers, many of whom are already suffering from Obamacare's costly mandates, worse off by forcing them to deviate from their preferred consumption patterns. Mandatory depression screening will not just raise insurance costs. In order to ensure that the screening mandate is being properly implemented, the government will need to create a database containing the results of the screening. Those anti-gun politicians who want to forbid anyone labeled mentally ill from owning a firearm will no doubt want to use the database as a tool to deprive individuals of their Second Amendment rights. So if the Preventive Task Force has its way, Americans could lose their Second Amendment and possibly other rights simply because they happened to undergo their mandatory depression screening when they were coping with a loved one's passing, a divorce, or were simply having a bad day. As anyone who has been mistakenly placed on a terrorist watch list can attest, it is very difficult to get off a government database, even when the government clearly is in error. Thus, anyone mistakenly labeled as depressed will have to spend a great deal of time and money in what may be a futile attempt to get their rights back. Mandatory depression screening will endanger people's health by increasing the use of psychotropic drugs. These drugs often have dangerous side effects. Their use has even been linked to suicide. The fact that almost every mass shooter was on psychotropic drugs is another good reason to oppose any policy that will increase reliance on these medications. The Preventive Services Task Force mandatory depression screening mandate is based on the fallacy that diagnosing mental health problems is analogous to diagnosing cancer or diabetes. But even mental health professionals acknowledge that there is a great deal of subjectivity in mental health diagnosis. Consider that until 1973, homosexuality was considered a mental disorder by the Psychiatric Association. Today, some mental health professionals think that those who believe in limited government, free market economics, or traditional values suffer from mental disorders. If mandatory depression screening becomes a reality, it is likely this mental health screening will be expanded to cover screening for all other mental illnesses. This could result in anyone with an unpopular political belief or lifestyle choice being labeled as mentally ill. Even if mandatory health screening could be implemented without increasing costs or threatening liberty, it would still be a bad idea. Government health care mandates undermine the basic principles of a free society. If it is legitimate for government to tell us what types of health care we must receive, then it is also legitimate for the government to tell us what to eat, when to exercise, and even how to raise our children. To paraphrase C.S. Lewis, a tyranny imposes for our own good is the worst form of tyranny, because it is a tyranny without limits. All who love liberty must therefore oppose mandatory depression screening or any other health care mandate. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888.
To repeat the announcement, press 1.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. They're already telling us how to eat and how to raise our children.
Yes. Yeah. Can't smoke in your own car, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. GMO. GMO.
GMO's the way to go.
GMO's the way to go. GMO. GMO. GMO's the way to go.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was proposed to put in as one of the amendments, basically the freedom to choose your own health care. And that was knocked down early on. Well, it was proposed to put that in as one of the protected rights. And it was knocked down way, way back, 17 whatever, you know. So, but that left the door wide open for somebody to come in and say, oh, you got to do it our way. And he's right. You know, once you control somebody's body, and healthcare allows them to control your body. You know, if you don't have control of your body, then what?
Well, as long as you have a social security number, you're their slave anyway, so you're their property. So they can do whatever they want with you because you're already giving them permission to control you.
Yeah. Well, anytime you walk through the hospital doors, you've given them permission.
True. That's why I don't go to those death clinics.
Yeah. Yep. Short of an emergency where I need something to save my life on the spot, I want to go to the hospital. What are you looking at?
Do what?
Charging. Oh, that's good.
Oh, this makes me stay in with Jim Plugger.
No. I may have.
Yeah, scrapgovscrap.com.
Yeah. So who were they saying was pushing for that? The mandatory depression screening?
Probably the New World Order. I don't know who exactly.
Well, yeah, but they named a branch.
We can listen to it again.
I guess you're right. It doesn't really matter. It's
the New World Order.
Yeah, it's New World Order. It doesn't matter which branch of the New World Order. It's New World Order.
Right, the CEG, Criminal Element of Government.
Yep.
Yeah, no, well, we don't subscribe to all that garbage anyways. We practice free food and medicine.
Yes. And if we can get a hold of Cloud Filer, we will practice that.
Well, we'll incorporate that into our religion because we still have the First Amendment right to our freedom of religion. Barely.
There you go. Well, yeah. Well, those rights exist whether government recognizes them or not. Problem is,
well, that's true.
If government refuses to recognize it, you're going to have to fight for it.
No, we have to fight for it. Yeah, because they're refusing to recognize it.
Yeah, as long as they're pretending to recognize it, then you can at least put that in their face.
ScrapGovScrap.com. We need to reduce the size, the cost, and reduce the extent of the reach and the power of government. If we can't get rid of it, we need to reduce it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, getting rid of it would probably be the ultimate paradise, but, like I said, we can't do that. At least we can do is, you know, reduce the size of the problem.
Well, there's still too many people who believe that they need some dictator over their head to keep them behaving. You know?
Right.
Like, well, I can behave, but my neighbor won't.
I need somebody that...
Right.
Yeah.
They don't realize that that when they're imposing on other people's rights, they're also imposing on their own.
Of course.
Kind of like that one thing. Well, when they came for, you know, the communists, well, I wasn't a communist, so I didn't do anything about it. When they came for the blacks, well, I'm not black, so I didn't do anything about it. when they came for the business people, well, I'm not a business people, so it wasn't my problem. When they came for these other funky, hippie-looking weirdos, I'm not a funky-looking weirdo, so it wasn't my problem. But then when it came for me, there was nobody else to protect me, so it was my problem.
Yep, there's nobody left.
Right.
I'm looking
All
at
right.
his wood stove. His wood stove is approximately 3 times to 4 times the volume of Ben's.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you an idea how good this thing is. The last 2 years in Kansas, and it was cold. This is, we haven't even had a winter here since I've been here. Okay.
The
last the
score is still 16-7.
One fire the first year, and one fire the second. If we went away for 3 days, I opened it up, stirred the ashes a little bit, threw a couple pieces of wood in, closed the door, opened the dampers, and went
fire
30 up. To a 30 minutes or 30 seconds to you know a minute or two. Whoosh. Two fires, 2 years, that's it.
So it's basically, it's thicker metal, but it's basically a miniature barrel stove.
Yeah. It's got last punch here for putting on a pack punch. 5 gallon water tanks on both sides, and put a warming tray here that comes out to about here, and both sides of that. Double wall oven, bake 7 loaves of bread. I mean, yeah. I looked at that thing 40 years ago in Denver for about 5 minutes, literally. And I went, that is perfect survivalist stove that I've ever seen. About 30 years later, from 99 Y2K, I was like, I really want one, because I had bought 2 teepees. Only money I ever had in my life, I bought 2 teepees with, and I went up to the stove store.
Where'd you get the poles for your teepees?
I never did. I made some out of bamboo that throws in the field house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bamboo for your teepees.
Yeah. Do you have a teepee?
Bamboo. Hey, that's a good idea.
There's a girl in the area who makes teepee.
No shit, where's she at?
She's over on M. You probably know
her. Oh, Janice.
Janice.
She's not me. Maybe she is.
We talked to her last week, and she said she'd gladly make us a teepee. So,
no. She said she'd gladly sew the whatchamacallit for the outside part of the teepee, we got to come up with poles.
The other thing, cedar trees, I was in the lodge where we did the wood gas stove with Doug Britauer. It was a gigantic lodge, 2-story, and I looked at the railing, long, about 30 foot worth of steps, and I looked at the railing and went, oh my God, teepee pole! It was a cedar, and I turned around, I said to the two ladies who were sitting in the lodge there, and I said, man, that could be a teepee pole. The lady looks at me and goes like, well, yeah, that's what we use for teepee poles. What do you use? And I'm like, nothing. I tried bamboo.
Yeah, cedar is what she suggested. Bamboo might work, though.
Well, yeah, there's at least 2 varieties of bamboo. They're timber bamboo that will grow in this area, and that'd be what to go with.
Talk to Ben before you screw up.
So,
there's bamboo around here that I call river bamboo.
Yeah, don't use that stuff. It's useless.
I used it to make 4 poles out of it, but I had to use 3. I latched 3 or 4 pieces together, and it worked. You know, and it set my big teepee up for Janice at the Black Walnut Festival. But, and it's strong enough that that cheap river bamboo, all the other poles were fiberglass, military fiberglass poles, 2-inch diameter, and we tried to move the teepee over. The little skinny bamboo poles snapped a fiberglass pole in half.
Ooh,
without making a crack in them. So the stuff's strong, but there's nothing growing around here big enough. The problem is, one time in Denver, I ordered real bamboo from Georgia. I think I paid more for shipping than I did for the bamboo, and it came green from Georgia, so it was extremely heavy. So it went from Georgia to Denver, desert, from jungle to desert. So I wired it to the fence post, and, you know, I was all waiting for it to cure. And as we'd sit there eating dinner for about 3 weeks on end, I'd hear this. And and as I was had the sick feeling in my stomach, though, it all shattered. If you're going to cure bamboo, put it in a pond. Let it cure in the pond. Keep it wet.
You say
wow.
It cracked open.
Yeah.
It just split apart and fell.
That was to Denver. It wouldn't be so bad here, but, you know, they grow in Arkansas. It can grow here, but you just got to get it going and keep it going and all that good.
There's definitely two varieties that grow in Zone 5. And supposedly, no.
One of the biggest peepee sellers are bamboo sellers in the world is the Maine. That's definitely not growing. Anyway.
There's not too many timber bamboos that grow. Actually, there's no timber bamboos that grow north of 5.
What did I just tell you? Do you know where Maine is?
I know where Maine is.
You don't know where Maine is?
It's not timber bamboo, then.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Anyway. I mean, it needs to grow in water. But the best stuff I saw around here was down in Arkansas, and it was good stuff. I mean, it's TV-pulled material right there. And I asked the guy, you know, what kind of condition it was growing there, and he said on the mountainside, and I said, anything special? Just now. So it'll grow around here.
We can grow it on P&L.
Yeah.
But yeah, TVs are cool. Anyway, I wanted to sow my teepees, and that's what I got. Two of them, or I got. We became a dealer, distributor, and then.
You know
how
what?
Long does a football game usually last?
Oh, I don't know. Too long. it sounds like the wind's picking up. I might want to go check on my tent and the goat's shed. But the goats aren't sleeping in it, so I guess I don't care. The goats are all over here.
And then the pit's still
there. Yeah, crap.
I need a Venturi thing up there.
Oh, my internet quit on me again. Dang it.
All right. So is that it for this week?
I suppose that's it for this week. Follow
right,
us next week.
If you want to hear us live, Sundays at 7 Central. At this number.
7 o'clock Central.
7 o'clock Central, this number.
And you can find this number at...
Demented Dungeons and Dragons. .com.
It's never happened before, not at night. It's supposed to die down. I need to put a fire close to the house.
Shit.
Yeah, you might want to close your vent. Or you can get flamethrower in your bed.